This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
Good morning. Sue Clarke with you for Perspective. With an increasing influence in the Southeast Asian region and with one of the world's fastest growing emerging economies, India has come to the attention recently of both the United States and Australia. To discuss why, from the School of Finance and Economics at the University of Technology in Sydney, L.J. Perry.
The recent visits to India by US President George Bush and Australian Prime Minister John Howard point to the growing importance of India on the global political and economic stage. India is the world's second largest country in terms of population, with a little over 1 billion people. That's a population that's about 50 times greater than Australia's. India is one of the world's poorest countries. Its per capita gross domestic product is 10% that of Australia's. This means that for every $100 an average Australian citizen spends on food, clothing and shelter, etc., an average Indian citizen gets to spend $10. Our trade with India has grown rapidly in recent years. In the year 2002, it ranked as our 13th largest export market. 3 years later, in 2005, it ranked as our 6th largest export market. Our principal export to India is gold. Gold accounted for nearly half of our exports to India during 2005. Other important exports include coal, copper, and wool. India is not a very important source of imports for Australia. We mainly import manufactured, mass-produced goods, such as vehicles, machinery, and electrical equipment. But not much comes from India. Why? Well, one reason, and it's a very important reason, is that India has for a very long time specifically prevented businesses from expanding and developing to a size large enough to exploit the crucially important benefits that come from large-scale production. To be sure, the liberalising reforms introduced in 1991 reversed some of the worst excesses associated with India's flawed belief that big business is bad and government ownership of businesses and centralised bureaucratic planning could remedy its endemic poverty. These policies were put to the test for 4 decades, and they failed miserably. The reforms of 1991 have not gone far enough to encourage business growth. For example, any business that employs more than 100 workers still needs government approval before it can dismiss or reclassify a worker. Such approval is rarely given. Big business needs to be encouraged in India, not stifled. Only big business can produce the enormous benefits associated with large-scale production. Large-scale mass production provides access to economies of scale and low-cost production, which in turn underwrite improved living standards for all. These were lessons learnt many decades ago when economies like the US and Japan, to name but two, reaped the benefits of large-scale mass production. Let me further illustrate. Nearly a century ago, back in 1909, the T Model Ford sold for $950. That was a little over 1.5 years of an average American worker's earnings. By 1916, through the cost-cutting impact of economies of scale, the cost of the car fell to $360. That was about half a year's worth of an average worker's earnings. As the T model became more affordable, more workers got to purchase the car. Material living standards improved. The price of the T Model Ford fell because of the cost reductions brought into effect through labour specialisation. Labour time spent in making the T Model fell from a little over 12 hours a car to about 2.5 hours. These benefits to the business, to the workers, and to the community did not come because of some bureaucratic governmental decree. And the deployment of workers within Ford was not stifled by a need for central government bureaucratic approval. The benefits came about because the Ford Motor Vehicle Producing Company wanted to keep ahead of its competition and improve its own profitability. The wider community benefited from what Ford did just as the wider community can benefit from the actions of businesses in general going about their business of keeping costs to a minimum in pursuit of their own goal of maximising returns. I suspect that it may not be until our imports of mass-produced items include Indian-made products that we can be confident that India has at last found the right path to economic development and poverty reduction.
LJ Perry from the University of Technology in Sydney with today's perspective. Up next, Asia Pacific, and that's followed by the final episode. Yep, you heard it right. The final episode of the show created by the people who were the goodies and the men behind Monty Python. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. On ABC Radio National, it's 5 o'clock. It's news time.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs, more than 260 transmitters Australia-wide. And we're live on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.